Okay, folks, another episode of Rethink Real Estate. Today I have Paul Ross on. Now, Paul is a little unconventional in his approach, and I really enjoyed connecting with Paul because of his different language that he uses. Now, when I say different, it's not so much different. Like, we go dive straight into objections and we dive into a few little things with expireds and for sale by owners, how to keep people's attention on the phone quickly. I really enjoyed his approach and some of the language that he uses around certain particular pattern interrupts. We talk a little bit about hypnosis. Now, while that has a bad connotation to some people, you know, it can be associated with manipulation or whatever it may be. We talk about how, you know, he's used some of these theories to be in play in order to actually make sure that, you know, he's serving the community the best way he possibly can and his clients. Interesting episode. I hope you enjoy it. Welcome to Rethink Real Estate. My name is Ben Brady, and this is a real estate podcast aimed to deliver sales strategies, marketing tips, and business insights from industry experts and myself to build a listing-focused business for the future. Let's get into it. So, Paul, I think that one of the things that I wanted to sort of lead off with, you being the master of whether it's persuasion, whether it's the sales mastery, whether it's the, you know, the wordsmith. One of the biggest problems in real estate is always the objections that we face on a daily basis. I'd love to talk to you about some of the common objections in the real estate world that you see, because obviously the real estate world is where we live. You live in many different sales worlds. You know, common objections around commission, common objections around, hey, I need to think about it, common objections around many, many different things. I'd love to talk to around how to handle that side of business.
Let me preface this by giving a general principle. Whenever I teach, whenever I train, whether it's to groups or whether it's to one-on-one VIP clients, I always like to teach from principle first and then to specific examples. If you understand the principle, then applying the examples word for word, which I will give to add super value, makes it much easier. So the principle I'd like to give, and I learned this from my classical hypnosis practice. I am a hypnotist, doing it a long time, 30 years, is that human beings think, feel, respond, act, view their world through fixed patterns. When you break those patterns, they become extremely suggestible. And it opens that window of suggestibility through which you can artfully lead them to better decisions. Because I believe, Ben, that you're not selling real estate. You're always selling decisions and good feelings about decisions. So that said, if you want to role play with me with some of these objections, I'll show you how it works. And they all work by interrupting people's thought patterns and literally giving them objection amnesia. Not just crushing the objection, but erasing it completely.
So go back to just one of the things that you said, just for better context. Like, I really enjoyed what you said in the perspective of that you're selling better decisions. Is that correct?
You're selling decisions and good feelings about decisions. If you take on that perspective, it's a completely different way of looking at sales. Then what happens is, you're not so much focused on the actions you want your client to take. They're important, but you focus on the states of mind you want them in. Our clients receive our facts, data, figures, numbers through different states of mind. Let me give you a metaphor, if I might. I teach through metaphor. I consider myself first and foremost a teacher before I'm a salesperson or any of that. Let's say we have a current of electricity. And I want to conduct that electricity, and I have two conductive mediums. This is not a trick question. I have a sheet of gold foil. I have a sheet of cardboard. Which one of those will conduct the electricity better? It's not a trick question.
The gold foil.
Exactly. So think of your prospect's state of mind as the conductive medium. Do you want them in cardboard states of being distracted? And by the way, I'm assuming this is video. If you look at this device, this is one of your number one enemies of making a sale or signing someone up as a client. Because even if people are initially interested, they can't focus very well.
Right.
I remember the days, I'm a little more gray in my hair than you do, a lot more. I remember the days when YouTube had ads that were 90 seconds long. I kid you not. So we want to get our prospects in states like being highly focused. in trusting us, but not just trusting ourselves, Ben. Nowadays, we have to get our prospects to trust themselves that they can make a good decision. So know, like, and trust is necessary, but it's no longer enough. Our prospects no longer trust their ability to make a good decision. So focus on our every word, knowing, like, and trusting us, but trusting their own ability to make a good decision. States of childlike wonder, states of being very suggestible. My outrageous claim is that using these hypnotic techniques, and I know people have buttons on hypnosis, you can create those states. And yeah. It's a deeper discussion on how I do that, which I don't think we have time for. But that's why I say those states are important, because we make our decisions from our states of consciousness. So in order to sell decisions and good feelings about decisions, you have to get your clients, prospects, into those right states of consciousness. And you do that. I can't directly say that, Ben. I can't say in a moment, I'm going to present my marketing plan and you'll be fascinated, focused on me, trust yourself, trust me. That doesn't work. But you can do it very quickly through hypnotic language.
Give us an example of some of that hypnotic language before we dive into some objections, or do you want to dive into that first?
Let's dive into the objections, because it's very complex. It's something you can, I don't want to seem to be plugging too much. Can I show people my book? I ask with your permission.
Yeah, for sure. Please, absolutely. So, we'd love to see it.
This is my book, Subtle Words That Sell. At the end of this, I will give you the opportunity to download it PDF so you can get it instantaneously.
Yeah, wonderful. Again, that's usually a really big resource that a lot of our guests, you know, certainly like to put forward. Sure. That if you've got a book based on the theory of what you're providing here today, and this is resonating with people, you know, certainly that gives greater context. But let's talk about some objections that we see in the real estate space.
Fire away.
I want to think about it. You know, is certainly something that we see in the living room very, very often.
Yeah.
What's the best way to go about that?
Well, the objection commonly heard is, I need more time to think it over. Fair. So my response is, well, Ben, what's the typical response? What response would you give when people say, I need more time to think it over?
Well, again, we have a process where it comes down to the way that we teach people is that you don't ever want to force people into making a decision. Okay. So at the beginning of the meeting, we ask, how would you like us to close you today? It's a jerking question in order to get them, you know, get their attention. Yes. So, and then they're going to, what do you mean, close me? No. Well, sorry. How do you want to close the meeting out today? Do you need more time to think on it? Like, where do you want to stand? Because if you're going to make a decision today, I need to understand that. If you need more time, no problem. But if I'm the best today, I should ultimately be the best tomorrow after you even thinking about it even further. I'm not insecure with that.
I think that's a wonderful way to do it. Let me give you my way to do it. So I would do a pattern interrupt I called counter examples. So when they say, I need more time to think it over, I would say, I understand. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever taken a long time to think something over and it still turned out to be a horrible decision? Maybe it's not about time, but about the clarity you need to recognize you can feel safe moving forward today. Did you hear that suggestion? You can feel safe moving forward today. And I slightly nod my head. And when I see them do that, I know I've got them. So think about it like that. What do we need to clarify so you can feel comfortable taking this step? You hear the suggestion, feel comfortable taking this next step. So these are ways of stacking suggestions. And there's a law in hypnosis. And if that word triggers you, then you may have an incorrect version of the way I view hypnosis. Anyway, there's a law in hypnosis called the law of compound suggestion, which simply says if you take three or more suggestions and put them together in a short space of time, they stack on the power of the previous suggestion, and the subconscious or unconscious mind has to respond to them. So that's one way to, you can fire another one at me.
Yeah. Well, I think that just to go back, I really liked how you started that. Have you ever taken a long period of time to make a decision and it still be a bad decision? A horrible decision?
Yeah. Have you ever taken a long time to think something over and it still turned out to be a horrible decision? Now, this is universal because every person has gone through that experience. If not through business, then everyone has had this experience. Because it's universal, they have to identify with it. And covertly, you're also creating just a little bit more rapport, because on the unconscious level, even though you're wiping out the objection, on the unconscious level, the unconscious thinks, oh, this person understands me, even though in reality, you're creating objection, amnesia for the objection. So the way I like to train people is we're doing multiple things at the same time. I don't want to waste a word. I want every word to count.
No, that's great advice. I think that there's other part here that I see people when dealing with objections. Before we dive into another one, have you found that it's interesting, you can tell when somebody's read something from a book and they basically are listening to somebody ask the question, they're like, oh, I've already got the answer, I've already got the answer, and it comes across too blunt, comes across too sharp.
Sure, yes. And that's the advantage, I think, of what I teach, because it's so unconventional that very few people, very, very, very few people know this. When you learn what I teach you, you'll have no competition, because even though I've taught tens of thousands of people, and if you look at the number of agents there are in the world, very few people, comparatively speaking, know this stuff. And again, we both know from being teachers, and I don't know if you sell courses or not, very few people actually apply what they learn. And one of the things I've learned to do is to install in my clients and my students almost a compulsion to apply what they learn. So yeah, it's very, very powerful. But let's throw another one at me. I want to add even more value to the people watching this.
Well, a fee is always an appropriate place to start when it comes to objections, certainly in a time where the real estate industry has got a lot of hype around, you know, the fees and buyer-side commission. I think that there's more knowledge around our fee than ever before. So the common objection would be, what do you charge? Now, sometimes it doesn't come in the way of, Paul, you're too expensive. It comes in the way of, well, how much is your commission? And it comes in a subtle way, you know. And I'm a big believer in the fact that, like, I had a situation one time in a real estate business I was running where the agent came back and said, oh, I did a great presentation. He didn't sign it up on the spot. But then the following day he said, I missed the business. And I'm like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, they went with a discount brokerage. And I'm like, well, let's go through your scripts and what you said in the perspective of when they asked you about your fee. And he said, they didn't ask me. I didn't have a chance to defend myself. So I'm a big advocate of provoking some of these things and addressing them in the very beginning.
You're quite right.
What would you say about the way to handle the monetary side of things?
You know, if someone, I've had this work for FSBO, for sale by owner, and all sorts of things. If they say something like, I don't want to pay a commission, I don't want to pay that high a commission, I use what I call compare and contrast. It's another way to break a pattern. I'll say, I understand, Mr. Smith, but what you haven't yet recognized is with the right agent, you're not paying a commission. You're investing in skills. Did you hear that reframe? You're not paying a commission. You're investing in skills. Why would you rely on someone who would negotiate his way down for his skills to be the ideal negotiator and representative for you? And then I'd shut up. And then they have nothing to say to that. It just is such a pattern interrupt. And it's a gentle one. And they'll never see it coming. I want to address what you said about 5 minutes ago about people thinking, it sounds like it comes from a book or they've heard it before. I agree. A tactic identified is a tactic destroyed. And there's an interesting paradox, Ben. Our prospects today are both numbed out and dumbed down by all the distractions they get from social media. And yet at the same time, they're also more sophisticated. This is an interesting paradox. And in paradox, there's power. In any field, physics, one of the big things that led to a revolution in physics is when they did experiments based on what Albert Einstein had predicted, and they saw that light could act as either a particle or a wave, which appears to be a paradox. And from that, they concluded it's some kind of phenomena that can appear or show up as either one, depending on how it's measured, which led to all sorts of other discoveries in physics. So I look for paradox, and in paradox, there's power. So I just wanted to put that out on the table. It seems paradoxical, and yet at the same time, it works.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Let's lead into the FSBO side of things, because you've brought it up. We have a great deal of our agents that that go after expired and for sale by owner side of things. Sure. I think it's one of the hardest conversations to like trigger somebody to get their attention for a short period of time on a perfectly – you're a perfectly – like I often say this, Paul, is that be conscious of the people that say yes too easy to a perfectly good stranger about their biggest asset to come over and evaluate that big asset within a short period of time. But where do you get, how do I capture somebody's attention on the phone and keep them there from the very beginning?
Well, again, I would do a pattern interrupt. As soon as people hear, hi, this is so-and-so from so-and-so estate, real estate, blah, blah, blah. The reason I'm calling today, boom, you're out. So I do a pattern interrupt. I'll say, hi, can I speak with, excuse me, damn it, I just spilled my Starbucks all over. So that's a pattern interrupt. I said, I'm wondering if you can help me. My name's so-and-so. I'm wondering, you don't know me yet, but I'm wondering if you could help me with something today. And people have a natural inclination to help.
Ah, that's great. So pattern interrupt, and then, hey, my name is Ben, and I'm wondering if you can help me today, Paul.
Correct. And then I'd say something along the lines of, you know, I've been reaching out and seeing how can I assist people who have given up on, pretty much given up on getting, you know, the maximum value out of their home.
And that's good. People that have given up, you know, that's another pattern interrupt.
Yes. And perhaps are missing out on moving up financially and improving their situation.
So that language around giving up, improving the situation financially, all of those triggering words for somebody that is in their position being expired or for sale by owner or things along those lines, I think that provokes a deeper conversation.
If they say, what's this all about? I'll say, I'm sorry, apparently I've offended you and that was not my intent. Let me start over. And then I would go, I don't want to give away all my secret sauce here. If, with all due respect, I mean no disrespect to your audience, but I'm an honest person. I am, yes, of course, I want to educate and share, but I'm also a businessman. And so,
Yeah, I think that there's a part of this that obviously a big play on all of this, Paul, is the words that you're using.
Yes.
But there's a mindset portion of what you do as well. And I want to talk a little bit about that because, you know, one of the things, like in doing some research before you and I sitting down today, you know, I wanted to talk about how you think the conventional training around mindset sort of is a bit of a blockage.
Sure. I think one of the things that is overemphasized, Ben, is being enthusiastic. Enthusiasm can be very dangerous because, first of all, I found that the greater the enthusiasm, as your enthusiasm increases, your ability to make a good decision and evaluate situations drops. Does that make sense? Because you're the second one is in any kind of sales, people tend to be invested in the sale, but just interested in their skills. I train my people to turn it around. You're invested in the skills, but you're interested in the sale. And a breakfast of bacon and eggs, if again, I can use a metaphor, one of the animals is invested, but the other one is just interested. And of course, the pig is invested, the chicken is just interested. So I think
that's good.
The second one. And the third one, I think, is this idea of getting yourself into a peak state. This is the Tony Robbins, and I don't mean to knock Tony in the context in which he teaches that it makes sense. I've seen Tony at an event in Anaheim, which you know where Anaheim is. We're not quite neighbors, but we're not that far from each other. And Tony was-
We're county neighbors. I love it.
Sort of San Diego and you're Orange County. And so Tony was at peak performance, and he had to be in a peak state because he was leading 40,000 people. If you go into a peak state and your prospect is not there, you're going to burn out their circuits. That's number one. Number two, they're going to freak out. Number three, you're going to burn out because peak states are very difficult to sustain. And the final thing I think is the whole idea around confidence. It's a very unclear definition. I think there are different kinds of confidence. There's performance confidence, Ben, where you've done well 10,000 times, so you have a realistic expectation that you'll do well again. There's rehearsal confidence, and I teach my clients this, where you rehearse and vividly visualize what you're going to do, and I agree with that. But the most important thing that's strongly overlooked is learning confidence. Now, I don't care whose courses you take. There's a lot of great courses. I'm not going to knock anyone. I don't do that. A lot of great courses in sales. But what they don't teach is how to learn from your mistakes. They just tell you, get up. If you're knocked down 9 times, get up 10 times. But that could learn to you repeating your mistakes 20 times. So how do we create a state of mind where you can look objectively at what you're doing incorrectly without programming it back in? Oftentimes, clients will say to me, why do I keep screwing up, or why can't I do this, or why can't I do that? And when you do that, your mind is just simply dwelling on the mistake, focusing on it. Now, there's a rule of the mind, rule that I came up with, but it doesn't matter who came up with it. It's true, I think, at least from the operational sense. It may not be scientifically true. I don't claim that what I do is science. There's a rule, a principle that says your brain, your mind, can't tell the difference between what you dwell on and what you're programming it to do. So if you dwell on your mistake 100 times by saying, why did I screw it up? You're just going to stare at that mistake in your mind, in your mind's eye. And your brain naturally thinks, okay, I'm programming this in. It's unintentional. You're not trying to screw yourself up. You just have a bad learning strategy. I was going to swear, but I won't swear on your show. You have
The listeners are used to it if they're coming back.
Okay. Well, you have a shitty learning strategy. Anyone, I could take that. It essentially installs learned helplessness. So one of my, and I say this very quietly, you see my energy is not jumping around all over the place. But one of the things I'll claim that I've not seen in any other training is creating a system, a technology to quickly learn from your mistakes and stay and hear my words carefully. I'm parsing my words really carefully to have an informed enthusiasm and a realistic motivation, because it's based on the knowledge that you have learning confidence, that you'll go into a situation and even if you don't get your outcome, you'll learn the skills you need to get it the next time. And people always say, Ben, and this used to drive me crazy, still does, when I go to events and people say, just learn from every experience. But I'm sure you've heard that. Has anyone ever given you an exact process on how to do it?
No.
No. That's like if my car is broken. Here's another metaphor. That's like if my car is broken down in the desert and my cell phone is at 1% battery. I call auto club or a mechanic and he says, oh, just pop the hood, screw the fragistat back on the what's it and reconnect the flak hose, and then the phone dies. Well, if I could do that, I wouldn't need to call the mechanic. So I think it's a major flaw, and I mean no disrespect to your teaching or training. I really don't. I think it's a major flaw in any training, any system. And to emphasize the other forms of confidence without even recognizing what to say, teaching learning confidence is a big gap. And I'm proud of the fact that I've filled that gap.
Yeah, I think that there's part of this that resonates. Well, this is probably one of the biggest points so far that from a like that I reflect on, and you think about the mistakes that you've made and have you really actually learnt from them? The answer to that is really no, if you don't have a process in play. Like, what did you learn in those moments? And you can reflect and say that it's a mistake. There's no question about that. But unless you've you know, to use the terminology we've used before, unless there's a pattern interrupt during a moment that's similar to the one that you made the mistake in, then you're going to do the same thing again. You're going to make that mistake again.
And it's not because you have a lack of some mysterious fluid called low self-esteem, simply because you have a bad learning strategy. Now, I learned this in my earlier career, and I'm just going to surprise. I like to hit my hosts with this as a surprise. My previous career is I was a pickup and seduction coach, and I worked with guys who were 30, 40, 50 years old and never had a girlfriend in their life. And so wow. they were really dwelling on their mistakes. And I had to find a way to break them out of that really quickly, because teaching these guys and healing them takes a lot of energy. One of the things that's not in my biography is I've done and still do a lot of healing work. Because essentially, I'm not the best salesperson in the world. I never claimed to be. I will claim to be one of the best teachers in the field and the only one. No, I can't say that. I'm not going to be that arrogant. I think I'm someone who does a lot of healing work. I think healing is part of any learning process, and learning new things is part of any healing process.
So you used to be the somebody that, like, have you seen the movie Hitch? You were actually a real life version of that?
No. Can you recognize who that is in that behind
it kind of looks like Tom Cruise. It kind of does. Ah, there we go.
Tom Cruise played my alter ego in the movie Magnolia, believe it or not. And wow. Yeah, that was pretty crazy. It got me a date with my intellectual property attorney. I said, Janine, now you have to go out with me to the movies, because this is a matter of protecting my trademark. So didn't get anywhere with Janine, but at least I got the date.
There you go. Good deal. Well, it's a fascinating field that you've sort of, well, a progression that you've gone through. I know that some people might not feel comfortable with the word hypnosis or anything along those lines.
Now, but let me reframe it. I'm sorry. I stepped on your question. Go ahead.
It's okay. No, that's fine. Well, no, I just was going, I want to go through, like, it's the same sort of things when, like, I think it can be associated with the same thing when we talk about salesmanship, or, you know, it's usually drawn in this, there's a line drawn in the sand with salesmanship, hypnosis, all of these things that are like, you know, the sleazy used car salesman or things along those lines. Like, I'm in a business where, you know, those techniques, I've had to learn them from a very early age, and I learned very quickly that if they're not authentic, then ultimately they don't work. Right. You know, so that said, is that I'd love to understand where you lean into the hypnosis side of it, how you've brought it into your work.
And it's a wonderful question. Let me answer it thoughtfully, and it'll take a bit to answer it. By hypnosis, I do not mean someone is going to sleep and you're saying you are in my power. I simply mean a way of structuring your communication so you're speaking to your prospects' subconscious mind or unconscious mind. They mean the same thing, because that's the place where they make their decisions. And remember, you're always selling decisions and good feelings about decisions. Now, if that seems a little strange, I invite your audience to explore something for a minute. All of our most important actions and decisions are made subconsciously, and later we come up with rationalizations. I'll give you an example. Ben, did you ever just find yourself falling in love?
Yeah.
Okay. Was that really a conscious thought out, I'm going to fall in love with this person because I think they're X, Y, and Z? Not really.
No. There might have been an initial attraction because they were X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
But
yes. Yes. Okay. Think about this. Did you ever just find yourself driving down the highway and all of a sudden an hour had gone by or 2 hours had gone by and you just lost track of time? That's a hypnotic phenomena. Did you ever just find yourself daydreaming and imagining a time in the future where you had some kind of outcome that you don't currently have? That's a hypnotic phenomena called pseudo-orientation in time. Did you ever have the experience of being out with friends for maybe about 4 hours, but you were enjoying yourself so much that it only seemed like an hour had gone by? Mm. And yet within that space of time, you could be waiting in line for a movie or to get into a play or whatever, or a restaurant. And that wait, that 20 half minute, 30 minute wait could seem like hours. So time, the subjective experience of time, can compress and stretch and do all those things. That's a hypnotic phenomenon. So what I would invite your listeners, your audience, to begin now to explore as an idea, they don't have to accept it, just explore the idea that when I say hypnosis, I'm simply saying phenomena, ways of thinking, acting, responding that happen anyway. They're the foundation of our consciousness. That's not to say there's not a time when you present facts, figures, data, reasons. Your prospects need that to make a good decision. It's not necessarily the right place to start. I want to start by creating states of consciousness again, where they're focused, where they view me as an authority, where they trust themselves, et cetera, et cetera. Then you can produce your facts, figures, data, information, marketing plans, whatever. And all of this is done, again, in the service of your client. If you do this in a way that's not in the service of your client, here's the fail-safe for all of this, because people are concerned about manipulation, and rightly so. In order to do this stuff, you have to be in rapport. And if you have a bad intent, then the unconscious mind of the other person will pick it up, because the number one duty of the unconscious mind is to protect the person. So when you use this stuff, because you're appealing to the unconscious and you're getting rapport on a deep unconscious level and you're being persuasive on that level, if you have a bad intent, the unconscious mind, which is more activated and more aware than ever than in the normal selling process, will pick that up much more quickly. That's the fail-safe, because I would not want my work to be abused. It's very, very powerful. It's important that we keep our... Anyone... I like to say a couple of things. Anyone under my influence is also under my protection, and I have an obligation to leave them better than I found them.
That's a very powerful statement, to make sure that you understand that there, that if you do if you possess the power of, you know, being able to talk to the unconscious mind or show that, is that then you've got to obviously put that into the protection side of things as well.
Yes, absolutely. I believe in karma. I don't know exactly how it works. I don't know how it works, but I believe in it. And also, if you screw someone over, you're not going to get referrals. And as we know, referrals are a huge part of anyone who's really successful in this business. Referrals. If someone feels burned, not only will you not get referrals, I won't turn on my phone, but you also have something called Yelp. Yelp is the screwed over person's revenge. And I want good reviews on Yelp.
Indeed. Well, it's been a fascinating approach that you've taken. And I think that there's enough intrigue in what you've said today that it obviously allows people to explore further your work, who you are, things along those lines. Paul, where's it best to find you? And what can you offer the audience from a perspective of things that they can use for resource?
Sure. Well, there's two things, even though this goes contrary to traditional marketing. So let me give you two things. First and foremost, if you'd like to get a free instant access copy of my book that you can download, along with a couple of goodies, I have a training there, a brief video training on how to destroy objections, and then an audio training that on confidence, having genuine confidence, as I've spoken about it. Go to paulrossbook.com. I call it my rapid sales accelerator. And for some people, it can increase their sales by as much as 30% in 90 days. I will acknowledge that sounds like a crazy claim. I give that kind of value away, Ben, because this is so unconventional that the only way people would consider, I think, investing, not all people, but is to see, try for yourself that this stuff works. I have great testimonials, but the best testimonial is your own result. The second thing you might do, and this is with respect and humility, I say this. This is only for people who are already brokerages or individual salespeople, already doing really, really well. They're peak performers. Maybe they consider themselves the 5% or 10%. If you're looking for a very unconventional, even contrarian way to exponentially increase your sales, not just move the needle a little, but exponentially do it very rapidly, you can apply to work with me. I only work with 3 people per quarter because this is very intense. And I work with people from a lot of different fields. If you want to apply, it's a simple process. I'll give out that link. And if we don't make a good fit, if I think we'll make a good fit, we'll hop on a call. If you don't think we're a good fit, or I don't think so, I'll at least give you 2 or 3 actionable tips you can go out immediately and use and see immediate results. And, you know, if you feel like you're going under a hypnotic spell, hang up on me. I won't be offended by it. To do that, go to speakerpaulross.com/apply. And it's a simple process. I need to do it because I do only on that side of that intense work. I really do only work with people who consider themselves like the top 10, 15%.
Yep. Well, we've got all the links that we'll make sure that we link Thank below you. In order for people to find you. But Paul, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on Rethink Thank Real you. Estate.
It's always my honor to do what I love most, which is to teach. Teaching is in my blood. My parents were both teachers and they passed that love and passion on to me.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you, Ben.
So about 75% of our audience hasn't liked, followed, or subscribed to our podcast. It would mean the world to us and it would help this podcast more than you know to expand our reach if you were to like, follow, or subscribe on any of the platforms that you're watching or listening on. Thanks again.